Amen. Certainly good to hear the singing. It's a blessing. Amen. Book of Numbers, where we'll be. The book of Numbers, chapter number 21. Numbers chapter 21. I thought I'd be in the book of Jeremiah again tonight, but the Lord had other plans. Amen. Thank God for His Word. It is everything we need. Now, I missed the trapdoor falling last night, and I think what it was, he was pushing the wrong button. Thank God. Amen. And he was pushing the keep it closed button, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. But he's telling me to be limited, and so I've got to be limited. Amen. No, I'm just joking. He says to do whatever I need to do. But I'm supposed to be the forerunner for the real preacher tonight, and I'm going to announce Tony's going to preach tonight. And if that's wrong again, then I'm in real trouble. Amen. I've done it twice in a row. Praise God. But the Lord is good. Amen. We've enjoyed everything, enjoyed the fellowship, the place to stay, just the food. Everything's been wonderful, and I give God the glory. Thank you for being so kind to my family, my children, my grandchildren. It's just been a blessing. I thank you for everything, and I give God the glory. Amen. Thank you for remembering my wife and thinking so highly of her, and she's praising the Lord in a new world. Amen. So we thank God for His grace. Thank God for His goodness. Amen. The Bible is filled with instruction. The Bible is filled with doctrine. The Bible is filled with correction. The Bible is filled with everything we need. Amen. Matter of fact, it knows the human nature of man, and God often deals with the human nature of man in particular places in the Word of God. He deals with hatred. He deals with jealousy. He deals with those who are unforgiving. He deals with those who are forgiving. He deals with many things. In these verses, I'm going to deal with a word that is a word that no one really understands. I've read a lot about it. I've read pages of men who have written about it. And yet I've never found anybody that understood it completely. And it's a misunderstood word in a lot of ways. It's the word discouragement. It is found in the Word of God. People were discouraged in the Word of God. And we're living in a day when people are discouraged. People get discouraged and sometimes don't even know why they're discouraged. There is, and I'm not for psychiatrists, but there are many psychiatrists that don't understand discouragement. There is high school counselors that have had students come in their office that have been grade A students all the way, and all of a sudden they're discouraged. There have been people who played sports and were successful, and all of a sudden they're discouraged and they quit the team. There's been people in very successful jobs, and all of a sudden they quit their job, and they're discouraged. There's been pastors who left good ministries and churches discouraged, and some could explain some things about their discouragement, some cannot. So discouragement is real. To pretend it's not real would be foolish, amen. It's addressed in the Bible, so it must be real, amen. Everything God says is real. We don't have to doubt that one bit. You probably have already been discouraged some. You may have been discouraged many times. They say that there's two types of people, those who are pessimistic and those who are optimistic. And I'm not smart enough to deal with all these medical terms. There's doctors who deal with people who are discouraged, and they say there's literally nothing wrong with them, but they're discouraged. They may be aching their hip today and aching their toe tomorrow and aching their head tomorrow the next day, and it's all discouragement. They don't have anything wrong with them, they say. So we must believe that God is right when He deals with a subject. Amen? There's oftentimes people who get discouraged and it leads to other problems, and that's what we don't want to happen. If you said you've never been discouraged, I'd like to talk to you. Maybe you could help me. Amen. But if discouragement is a real situation, and I believe it is, then God has a way to address it, and I thank God for it. Look in chapter 21 of the book of Numbers, in verse number 1. And if you are not discouraged, thank the Lord you're not discouraged. And if you have battled discouragement and had victory, thank the Lord for that. Amen. And if you know someone that is discouraged, help them. Discouragement is also an epidemic. It can become an epidemic. It can lead from one person to another. One discouraged person can discourage another person, amen. I mean, I've seen on jobs, I've worked in many different mining places, amen. And I've seen the mechanics And I've seen the different particular individuals, maybe the operators, machine operators. One starts talking about this or that in a negative way, and the next thing, all of them are negative. And all of them ready to quit and go somewhere else, amen. I've seen people leave good jobs and be without jobs for foolishness. I've seen marital problems because of discouragement. Wife or husband discouraged. So we're not talking about something that's a phantom or it's a myth. We're talking about something that's very real, amen. The Bible says, and when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. Let me stop here just a moment. I believe this is very particularly written for a number of reasons. It does not say that Moses went to the Lord. It does not say Aaron went to the Lord or the priesthood went to the Lord. It said the people went to the Lord. And I believe that is in there for a reason. I believe it's because all of us need to hear about discouragement. Amen. The people can go to God and always have been able to go to God. And anyone who believes otherwise would have to disbelieve the word of God. So here he's not addressing the leader that's placed in their presence, Moses. He's not addressing the priesthood necessarily that's in the people's lives, though they are there. He is addressing the whole nation. He's addressing this group of God's children traveling through the wilderness. Amen. So the Lord listened and he hearkened to them, the Bible says, and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from the Mount Hor unto the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. I want to be as specific as God wants me to be and as unspecific as he doesn't want me to be. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you this evening that you understand us. I'm glad tonight, Lord, the Holy Ghost knows everything about us. I'm glad the Spirit of God even prays for us with utterings and voices, and Lord, the words that we know nothing about, because he knows the mind of the Father and is able to pray exactly for what we need. So pray for us now, Holy Ghost, and help us in this moment. You know the hearts of the people. You've laid this message on my soul tonight, and I desire to deliver it, that you might be exalted and praised in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I will be as brief as possible, but I pray the Lord will help me address the subject. Amen. Discouragement is a problem, and here we find a very rare discouragement. It is in a time when the people of God have been very successful. The very things they've asked God for, he has granted to them. They have saw their people captured. Some of them were taken away prisoners, and they have sought the Lord, and the Lord has answered their prayer and given them victory in the battle, and not only in the battle in reclaiming their prisoners, but literally, utterly destroying the enemy altogether. Now, oftentimes, discouragement comes for one or another specific reasons, but in this case, we would think that there would be an overwhelming rejoicing. So it lets us know something, that the flesh, the problems we have in our nature, the characters of ourselves, amen, does not always look or act like it should in certain circumstances, amen. Oftentimes a man will say to his wife, you know, honey, what's bothering you? And she says, I just don't know what's bothering me. Now, men have a good way of covering it up. Amen. Nothing's bothering me. Some people can cover their discouragement better than others. And some people, being maybe more optimistic, may handle it in a different way. But everyone deals at one point or another with discouragement. And even though all things may be going well and you may have everything in your life that you need right now, you can still be discouraged. I've sat down with people that didn't have a problem with their income, but they were discouraged. I sat down with people that didn't have a problem in a sense with their children. Their children were at home. They seemed to be raising them right, but they were discouraged. I've seen people that's in the ministry and serving God and doing the will of God, but yet become discouraged. Discouragement is nothing more than an attack upon us from the enemies of God. Even though numerous pages and books have been written, there's numerous people that have written 10 ways to get out of discouragement. And some of them have included in those 10 ways prayer, and I'm glad they have. Amen. But we find here in the Word of God, in a time when they were victorious, they become discouraged. In a time when every need in their life was met, they become discouraged. There was no shortage of food. They were fed every day. I understand that they began to act different after this, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But every need in their life was met. May I say to husbands and wives in here, don't think because you have material things that you won't have problems with discouragement. May I say also to you, be careful with your teenagers because they can become discouraged. There's many guidance counselors have written articles, and there's people who have dealt with this problem, written articles about teenagers having discouragement. And oftentimes parents says, well, you're young, you're 16, you don't have nothing to worry about. Just shut up, forget it. I'm going to tell you, parent, you better have more sense than that. You better have more wisdom than that. And pastor, you better have a whole lot more sense than that. Amen. Amen. One of the highest suicide rates in our country in the last year has been teenagers. Amen. It's not because many times they're not out of homes that have material goods. They have material goods. It's not always because they're on drugs. We had a suicide in our community just a few weeks ago, and he become missing. A young man become missing. And they searched for him and searched for him and searched for him. And some folks was coming down out of the woods and found him hanging from a tree. He hanged himself. I'm saying to you, we better realize discouragement is something that needs to be dealt with. They had what they needed. They had God's presence. Matter of fact, they complained about the water, but the rock that followed them was Christ, and that rock issued water continuously for them to drink, amen. But because they couldn't see a stream or a river or a lake or a spring, they grumbled about it. Amazing, isn't it? If we sat in this building and asked and could secretly describe our discouragements, we'd probably be shocked about what some of us would say, amen. Discouragement is a subject God writes in the Bible. If God writes about it in the Bible, it is definitely a need that we need to deal with. God's presence is with every believer in this building. Jesus promised we're never alone. He's with us always, even to the end of the world, amen. But there'll be times in our life, if we're not careful, we'll become discouraged as if He is not there at all. Are you listening? God was with them, very present. Matter of fact, they had seen His visible presence in the cloud and in the light at night, the fire. They had seen His miracles. They had watched God do many things. And many times people become discouraged who have had great, great experiences in their life walking with God. Amen. Discouragement has a number of things about it. It is very, very deceitful. When you begin to notice your emotions and feelings, and I looked up numerous definitions about discouragement and looked at several things people said about it, and one of the things they said was unspirited. You just come to the house of God, and you're here, you're present. They're singing, there's things going on, but you're not involved. You're just unspirited. You better be careful about those things. It talks about things that are detectable early in the coming of discouragement. It's good for us to realize God says it happened to people, and God was against what happened to them, and God dealt with it, amen. Discouragement is very, very deceitful. Because of its deceitfulness, it makes us look at everything in a negative light. It's discouraging when we begin to negative everything. May I say to you, young people, look at every positive thing about your home. Look at every positive thing about your mom and dad. Look at every positive thing about your life. And don't focus on all the negative things. Instead of saying, look, we have manna on the ground every morning and everything we need to eat is here. We have water from the rock all the time. We have everything we could ever want. The presence of God is here. He just gave us a great victory. They said, there's no streams around here. There's no streams around here. There's no creeks, no springs, there's no ponds. Can you imagine that? If you begin to focus on the negatives, you'll find plenty of them. May I say to you as a husband, and may I say to you as a wife, do not focus on his negatives. He's got plenty of them. Do not focus on her negatives. She's got plenty of them. Focus on the positives on both sides and build your life looking at her in a positive light and build your life looking at him in a positive light, because Satan will try to point out every negative. Same thing with your children. Don't focus on their negatives. They all have negatives. You see, discouragement is destructive. Moses immediately became their enemy. Here's the man who has led them out of bondage. He has brought them out of Egypt. He has listened to God and gave counsel. He has brought them across the Red Sea. And all of a sudden they're saying, what about this man Moses? As if they didn't even know him. Hey, the day you look at your wife or husband and things look strange, you better get on your knees before an almighty God and do some quick praying and seeking the face of God, because you're headed for a shipwreck, amen. And young people, when you look at your mom and dad and there's these negative impulses, you better get on your knees and start praying. And by the way, when you look at your preacher, amen, and start thinking negative thoughts, or your church or the congregation that sits in it, amen, you better get out of the problems quickly. Amen. I told a pastor one day, he was telling me he had all these negatives. And I said, look, I mean, what about all these other people? What about all these other things? What about the blessings of God? You've banked down a dozen negatives here. What about all these other things? Amen. You have allowed one negative after another negative after another negative to accumulate in your mind. And as you've accumulated them, you've let them block out all the positives of your ministry, of your church, of your people, those who love you and want to serve God. I say, hey, Jesus had a bunch, and they were full of negatives. His disciples argued and fussed and had pride and wanted to be one above another. They dealt with their issues, amen, like children oftentimes. And hey, you and I've got to realize, praise. I told a pastor one day, I said, if you're not willing to pastor an imperfect church, get out of the ministry. If you're not willing to pastor imperfect people, just quit. If you're not willing to preach to imperfect individuals, get out of it. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you're not willing to teach imperfect teenagers, quit teaching. You're not perfect yourself. Discouragement is a cancer that eats away of the positive things in your life, marriage, home, church, job. had a man we knew very well, had visited him several times. His wife had made a profession of faith. He was working in the coal mines, had a good job, probably making $80,000, $95,000 a year. There was a situation happened. He had a friend die. The mines was running. This wasn't a family member. This wasn't a relative. This was a friend. And the mines never excused him to be off from work. Sometimes a situation you can't get excused from. He went to work that day, and partway through the shift, he just threw up his hands and quit his job. He never, ever went back to work again. It destroyed his marriage. It destroyed his life. I tried to talk to him. Others tried to talk to him. May I say to you, listen, you better not let the devil take a small negative and build it into a mountain in your life, in your heart, no matter whether it's in your job, your marriage, your home, your children, or your church, or wherever it's at, amen. We got everything we want to eat. Manna from heaven, heaven, angels' food, amen. The presence of God is with us all the time. Rock flows out, but there's no stream here. There's no lake or pond or river. What's that got to do with anything? Amen. Learn to get along, praise God. Discouragement eats away. The second thing is discouragement not only brought Moses to be their enemy, it made Egypt look better. It made Egypt look better. Can you imagine that? I mean, here is the people of God that were in bondage. They were under harsh taskmasters. They were given terrible jobs. They weren't even allowed any allowances. And they wanted release from this bondage. And now discouragement makes Egypt look good. That's crazy. That's right. But that's what discouragement will do. You'll look away from the darling family that you have and look at some snotty-nosed punk across the counter at Hardee's that grins at you, that took 4 hours to put on her makeup and fix her hair this morning. You are an idiot, amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? But let me say something else, husbands and wife. Hey, don't let your marriage part from the house without correcting issues, amen. Don't leave a negative where it don't need to be. Amen, amen. If you have to run him down and tackle him in the driveway and kiss him right in the mouth, that's a whole lot better off than him leaving the house discouraged. Amen. I know some stories that would make you laugh, amen. And I couldn't tell them fully. There was a fellow at the mines, and they stopped at the Hardee's all the time to get biscuits, amen. And one of the men said to his wife, he said, so-and-so is flirting with that little girl at the Hardee's every morning. And she told his wife. And she got behind the door and got up on the back of the couch. And when he come in, she tackled him. With a whole lot of love and affection. And saying, ain't no little girl taking my husband, praise God. I'm saying to you, listen. Discouragement is strange, but it's destructive. It wrecks and ruins people's lives. He said the next day he come home, he opened the door, peeped in. She wasn't nowhere to be found. She had hid in another location. And tackled him again, amen. I know this is funny, but I'm saying to you, you have to fight discouragement. And if you're helping your spouse get out of it, help them get out of it. If you're helping your children out of it, help them out of it. If you're helping a church member out of it, help them out of it. But for God's sake, don't breed discouragement. Amen. The manna. All that they had, everything they needed was there in their supply. I've seen people get discouraged in a good church and they say, we're leaving. Why? We just don't know. Yeah. We don't have a reason, preacher. We ain't got nothing against anybody. We love you. What a baloney tale is that? Amen. I'm saying to you, discouragement is strange. It attacks people. It does things to their mind. It works on them. Amen. Moses become their enemy. Egypt sounded better. Manna no longer tasted good anymore. They could get it every day. It's out there laying. We're tired of it. There's no ponds, no rivers, and we're tired of this light bread. And who is this Moses anyway? Who is he? Who is he? For God's sake, he forsook Egypt and chose to suffer the affliction of the children of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. He delivered you out of bondage. That's who he is, amen. He led you across the Red Sea on dry ground, praise God. He baptized your children. He preached the funerals of your family. Glory to God, he's done everything you needed. What do you mean you don't know who he is? Who is this Moses? Discouragement is destructive. I ain't got time to cover all these issues, but discouragement is dangerous. You see, discouragement is sin or becomes sin. We know that sin has to take a process in our minds. Because sin deals with us in our nature, as James talks about, and it takes its course of action, and it's finally conceived, and it bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. You better deal with the issues while they're very, very early in your life. Deal with your thought life. Deal with your ideals. Deal with your issues. Deal with every part of your life on a daily basis so you won't get in a rut one day and have no way to get out of it. A family went through a divorce and there was a remarriage, and that's heartbreaking. Amen. Always heartbreaking. I'm glad God is merciful. And some men believe that's an unpardonable sin. They're knuckleheads. Amen. But the second husband had some of the same problems as the first husband. And my wife said, did you scream and holler and act like you used to? She said, I've learned better. Kathy, I'm sorry about all that. Hey, listen, why don't you fix what you got? Why don't you deal with the issues at hand? Are you hearing me? Fix what you got. Be blessed of God. You either defeat discouragement or discouragement defeats you. You either deal with it or God will deal with it. As they went through all these, and I'm not going to deal with every verse, they finally got down to verse number 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Now, all the sin up to this point has just been their mouths and their talk and their thoughts. God had to send the fiery serpent. God had to deal with them severely over it. But they said, we have sinned. When we will deal with ourselves, we will avoid a lot of problems. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Now, I'm going to leapfrog over several things, but I want to get to this before. I don't want to leave it out. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Isn't it wonderful that God gives us the privilege to deal with ourselves, to examine ourselves, to look at ourselves? What a God that would do that. I mean, a God has to be gracious who could snuff us out any second. And he says, you have the opportunity to judge yourself. The Bible says in verse number 31 of chapter number 11, For if we would judge ourselves. Negative thoughts you're having, better deal with them. Is it about your children? Is it about your parents? Is it about your wife? Is it about your husband? Is it about your church? Is it about your preacher? Where's the thoughts coming from? If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. It would have been a whole lot better for Israel to deal with themselves very early in this. Somebody could have stepped up to the plate, but it seems like it was an infestation of discouragement. There seems like there's always a Korah somewhere who can spread that plague around from one person to another. Amen. I had a strange event the other day, and I'll not name names, but my phone rang and I answered it. And the person started off just criticizing this under individual. And I said, I don't know. What are you talking about? I don't know. And finally they said, who is this? I said, you're talking to Pastor Jones. That's who you're talking to. Oh, I dialed your number by mistake. I said, no, not by mistake, by divine order. By the divine order of Almighty God. Now you listen to me for a few minutes. He called me back in a few days and tried to smother it over. I said, no. You are a troublemaker. You are a big mouth. You are no count. You need to get right with God. You need to repent. I said, that phone call was not a mistake. It was of God. Get your heart right with God. You won't be a miserable person, and you won't make everybody else miserable. Amen. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. It's so much easier just to... It's so much easier just to open the door and step back in the house and grab your wife and kiss her right in the mouth and say, I'm sorry. I left with a bad attitude. Please forgive me. It's so much better to correct your problems than to carry them all day long. I mentioned a man at the mines, and he was an Armenian. Believe you could lose your salvation. But that's neither here nor there. That's not the problem. He went around one day, oh, Lord God, let me live today so I can get home to tell her I'm sorry and get things right with God. And, oh, Lord, don't let me die today in the mines, praise God. And I'm going to tell you what, we deal with our issues too lightly. He wasn't going to lose his salvation if he was saved. But I tell you one thing, he could have lost a good portion of his family, even his marriage, amen. Are you listening? We better deal with our issues on a serious note and do it immediately. If we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord. God can't let us go and do nothing about it. He's promised to chasten us. If He loves us, He'll chasten us. We're chasing the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. He doesn't want you and I to be like this humdrum, wicked, ungodly, darkened world out there. And the stuff that's trying to eat at us and destroy us, He's trying to help us fix it. When they did repent, three things took place, and I'm just going to give you these hurried. I'm not going to preach on each one. Number one, there was a confession. You may just have to talk to God about it. That may be the only person you need to talk to. You may need to talk to your spouse about it. You may need to talk to your children about it. You may need to talk to your parents about it. But there was a confession. And they come to the man of God and said, we've sinned. This attitude we've had, this development is wrong. We're absolutely wrong in this. They repented. They believed God. could fix the situation. Then they rejoiced, they sang, they praised the Lord, they gave God the glory. Their light was filled with happiness, and they walked away from a situation that could have never happened if it had listened and paid attention to what God wanted to start with. Tonight, discouragement is either sin already or it's becoming sin. But if you'll deal with it, if you'll handle it before God, it can make things so much nicer in your life. Do you want to see good days and have long life and be blessed? God's got a key to that. You can be blessed. And it doesn't matter whether you're a teenager, whether you're older, younger, middle-aged, young family, or you're not even married, it doesn't make any difference. God's word is perfect. If there's discouragement, admit it, deal with it, and face up to it. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, as best I know, Lord, I dealt with the subject you wanted me to. Oh, God, may there be lasting fruit and blessing from it. Bless this work, this dear man of God, and the people of God here in Jesus' name. Amen.